W253DF Memphis, Flynn Broadcasting Stations.
College Football Talk every Tuesday with Brent Beard, Heisman voter, and on Twitter X at Brent Beard. SEC, ACC, AAC. We talk it all with Brent. Here's Brent Beard with Bryant and Brett.
Brent Beard joins us now from First Coast News down in Jacksonville to talk some college football and plenty to get to when it comes to college football. But Brent, thanks so much for joining us. Did you enjoy the draft over the weekend? Anything jump out to you of some of these college guys making it to the next level in the NFL?
I enjoyed the first round. I thought Nick Saban was just unbelievable.
Sure
how
was.
Good he was. And how prepared and how he explained things that they needed to boost on game day, and he's going to give them that. So that's good. I like round one. It's pretty fascinating, but after you get into 2-3 and beyond that, it gets mind numbing. Mm-hmm. At some point, one of the local radio guys down here made a good point about this years ago. He said the draft is one of the few events that are probably, after it's over, summed up better in the newspaper than it is on television. And I think that's probably, once I thought about it, that makes some sense. The SEC, again, dominating as they normally do. Unfortunately, the Pac-12 was number two, but does not really matter anymore. And unfortunately, it does. I mean, there were certainly some surprises along the way. Not surprised that Brock Bowers got picked as high as he did. The quarterbacks were all quite interesting too. So, but look, after about Saturday afternoon, about 2 or 3. Don't you kind of run out of adjectives to describe these guys and what they can do?
Mel never runs out of adjectives, Brent, and he is something. But the ratings they draw, the numbers they draw, they're going to stay with it, and especially on Thursday night. But you said how much you enjoyed Thursday night. There were the most 2024 NFL draft picks from teams that finished the season unranked. Lincoln Riley in USC led with 7. This year, I think for him off to the Big Ten, there might be people going, "We need you to win something big."
Yeah,
lost to Tulane his first year and unranked last year.
Well, there's no doubt about it, and their big issue is their defense. They're similar to LSU in that they can score on anybody, and it's like a local junior college coaching legend in Jasper, Alabama, used to say about his star player, well, he can score 50, but the problem is he gives up 52. So that's the problem with LSU and Southern Cal.
Yeah. But I trust LSU to find defensive players quicker than I do SC, don't you?
Yeah, by far. Yes.
But Brian and I were talking about this the other day. I think Johnny and I were talking about it as well. One of the hardest positions now to find anybody that wants to play this position is linebacker.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point.
It's a hard position to play.
Now, they love that rush in.
And that's what all those guys that are at linebacker want to put on weight and be. They want to come off the edge. They don't want to be in that tackle box.
No, they really don't. They don't want to. And look, that was one of the problems last year with Florida here. Florida missed 116 tackles on the season. That's unbelievable. But the point with that is, and to Brent's point, compared to the way it used to be, particularly when years ago, guys today, they don't want to get the uniform dirty, they don't want to mess up their hair, and if they can give them a shoulder to get them out of bounds, they love that. But the thing is, If you can form tackle now, you can put some fear of God in your opponent.
Well, it goes hand in hand. It's the kind of the death of the running back position, and what used to really be the main stopping point for that was, you know, a good sideline to sideline linebacker, and nobody really wants to play either one of those positions now. And if you've got any kind of hands, why play linebacker? I can put on weight. I've got good hands, and I can play tight end.
Oh yeah, absolutely, sure. And you're going to get a little bit of glory by catching passes in that position and a lot of offenses.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, with the draft being over, I know everybody's kind of favorite thing to do is, you know, the way too early mock drafts for next year. I'm not going to ask you to do that, but, you know, who are some names, some maybe stars that could emerge from the SEC or the ACC next year that we might be talking about a year from now being a first or second round pick?
Well, I think the Rivers kid on the offensive line at Miami, I think, is a real possibility.
Carson Beck at Georgia.
Carson Beck at Georgia is an easy one. We had on our TV show that we do on Sunday night, we actually talked about this actual thing, and Carson Beck was one of the guys. Jalen Rivers was another one at Miami, and then Shyam Brown at Florida State, who is a safety that had a good spring, played well last year, with a good year. I mean, he could get drafted too. Oh, listen, Beck is in the mock drafts. Beck haven't seen him any lower than number 11 in the first round, and high as number 2. And a little bit of talk that if he has a good year, that he could be the number one choice in the first round. Now, I'm not sure that's going to happen. Not saying it's going to be, but with as well as he's done on one of the best teams in America, that could happen.
Mm-hmm. Brent, we know historically that May is a very big month for getting a lot of business done in college football. It ends the month, Memorial Weekend, with SEC and a lot of other conferences going off to league meetings, and scheduling news, TV times usually comes out of that, maybe a couple other, you know, very practical things for the upcoming season. But it feels like this year they have more to do than they've ever done. We know we got a playoff. We got a 12-team playoff, and we know the date it starts. We're still not real certain exactly how it's going to be divvied up. We know of five, the five conference champions, the four power conferences and the top conference from the non-power, that they all get automatic bids. And I'm not trying to mislead anyone, because everybody knows for themselves, but this year in Memphis really can be that team. And it could be as high as four. And this is how. I think this year in the Big 12, if they had a couple of even not so ugly non-conference losses, say Oklahoma State lost week 2 to Arkansas and Stillwater, and then they had a 2 or 3 loss, kind of everybody does that to themselves, beats everybody else, and they're the conference champion, well, they wouldn't be seeded ahead of Memphis. Memphis could be the 4 seed. Oklahoma State would go to 12.
Yeah, well, that's thought. Absolutely. Now, the big thing that they came up with in their meeting, the most recent one, was they kind of did the math and did a mock tournament and found out again that they've got a problem possibly with first-round matchups that are repeats and rematches. So, and the point being, I mean, the last thing, yeah, I mean, it would bring some drama, but really the last thing they want is Ohio State Michigan at the end of the season, Ohio State Michigan in the championship game, and somehow, some way, Ohio State Michigan in the first round. Not saying that's going to happen.
Championship game is one thing, but that, you know, just 3 weeks later would be another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be, and you don't want that, and they're going to see what they can do. And they need to go ahead and jump on that, which apparently they have, in doing what they can do with the analytics to really keep that from happening. Now, I mean, I guess if you have one, the public will deal with that okay. You know, if you got three, that's another issue. So that's going to be the big thing going on, that they try to get that in place. I think the other thing is, to Brent's point, you know, it would be your non-Power Five trying to figure out in the future what they want to do. Do they want to stay with their with the slot, or do they want to at some point start looking at going off and doing their own thing? Now, that would be a lot harder than it sounds, but I think they've got to weigh all their options at this point. But again, guys, you know, for the people who haven't heard, this revenue sharing that we thought might be 5 to 10 years down the road, and it may be implemented that far in advance, or that far of a delay. But the SEC and the Big Ten are definitely talking about this, and that is going to be fascinating where that goes. And it may be done a whole lot faster than we think it's going to be done.
This year, with the calendar, with a really, really late Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's not until Thursday, November 28th. Big rivalry weekend is that weekend, with most of those games being played on Friday the 30th, some the day after Thanksgiving, on Saturday the 30th, some being played on Friday the 29th. So the next weekend's conference championship games, you could have rematches, big nuclear club rematches in 3 weeks, from the last weekend in November to 3 weeks later and on a campus. And what if the team that won the regular season game, but then they lose in the conference championship game, they're seeded worse than the team that they beat, and then you just beat them, but you got to go on the road and play the team that just beat you? Look at the motivation for that.
Oh, it'd be off the charts, would it not? I mean, all the psychological ploys would be well in place. Tell you one thing, you wouldn't need to spend a whole lot of time on the game plan by the time you got game three.
I'd have it down.
Sure. Yeah, I think you'd know your opponent rather well by then, but look.
Would that make for great football? Wouldn't that kind of be low to the ground, 17-14, gnash it out football?
Yeah, maybe at that point that they'd seen everything.
Sure.
And would the defenses have that advantage in game three?
Mm. Yeah, it's a good question. Talking to Brent Beard from First Coast News in Jacksonville. He joins us every single week to talk college football. We mentioned Carson Beck earlier, as he's going to try to play his way next year as high as he can in that NFL draft. But Georgia got more quarterback news last week when Jaden Rashada, the freshman at Arizona State, entered the transfer portal, and then committed to Georgia. Obviously, I think a lot of people familiar with Jaden Rashada before he committed to Arizona State. Big, you know, talks in the offseason about NIL deals, and you know, his recruitment kind of became trying to find the best NIL deal. But now he'll be at Georgia. What do you make of this move, and I think what a lot of people in Georgia think could be the future at quarterback?
Kirby wanted a full quarterback room, and he did not have it until Rashada.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he'll never come out and admit this, but all three of us know that's a little bit of a jab to the ribs, to the Gators.
Yeah.
Still, that they've got him, but he did want to fill the room. He did. That's going to be fascinating to see. But look, this day and age, in the SEC, and again, guys, if we're playing as many games as we might with the possibility of, 15 to 17 or something like that, teams are really going to have to be deeper than they've ever been before.
He's got to win a game for you.
Oh, yeah. I really do wonder if they may up the ante on the number of guys on the roster, going from 85, you know, like 85 to 90 or something like that, just to build a little bit more depth. But the point of that is, teams are going to have to play more guys during the season in case they get a lot of attrition, and instead of giving these guys quote-unquote mental reps, get them in the game and get them some experience, because it really may pay off.
What about waiving the practice time, the practice limitations in season?
don't you think, Brent, they've got to deal with that at some point? I bet they've looked at that, and I'll be curious, as coaches go to Destin, will that be a question that they get? Will they hit less than they do now, which they don't do a whole lot of it now? Will half an hour be shaved off of a couple of practices? That's a really good question to see how they're going to adjust.
You know, for as long as this year is going to be for some, I mean, they got to have some break from it. We're talking college football with Brent Beard. We do it every week. He's on our Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. Back to the rematch thing. One quick thing. And I like Ross Dellinger a lot. And I'm reading directly from his story. He writes, Sankey evaded repeated questions about the CFP instituting a protocol to avoid rematches, citing the current policy. But this is an easy answer. Yes, avoid rematches. Why are we replaying a game that happened a few months ago, if not weeks before? I'm with Ross on this, but even our conversation today, Brent, about it, I can hear people now going, boy, you sports guys. Cried forever about play it on the field, play it on the field, we need a playoff, and now we get one and you're complaining about how we do it.
Yeah. Well, look, there are going to be some bugs worked out of this, and that's just going to take some time in order to do it. Because we want the bugs worked out does not mean that we don't want the playoffs overall. I think the playoffs overall were going to be incredible, but look, you've got to be realistic here that you want new games. You want new matchups. If the Big Ten and the SEC are going to rule the roost, well, let's see a few matchups with all those teams and see kind of where this is going. But
here's what we want. We want to see that SEC team go play in Columbus or in Ann Arbor or in State College, PA, in 3 inches of snow.
Yeah,
of
course. Right. Yeah, that would satisfy a lot of fans, I think, nationwide, just to be able to have that experience. But, look, I mean, guys, the reality of that now with the dry fit stuff, the stuff they got now that keeps you from getting cold, or at least as cold, I think the Southern teams could probably be able to deal with that.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, they're not going to have necessarily 3 feet of snow on the field unless it's a driving snowstorm during the game. But to Brad's point, there's no doubt about that. I mean, my Lord, what great drama would that be for Georgia going up to Ohio State, and everybody knows it's going to be snowing the whole week.
But we've been to cold Egg Bowl and Iron Bowls. It's gotten down to at least 35 at some of them.
Yeah, absolutely. yeah, absolutely.
I remember sleet 1 year at the Iron Bowl in Tuscaloosa.
Oh, yeah. Matt, yeah, well, we've all got, yeah, really, we've all got, I remember, I'm trying to remember who it was. Alabama went on the road. And they had rain, sleet, snow, and sunshine by the fourth quarter. It was a meteorologist's dream.
Holy cow, that is crazy. Well, speaking of the college football playoffs, and obviously we've been talking about it a lot this off season. That talk will only continue to grow as we get closer and closer to the season of what teams can really compete, what teams will have those expectations going into the season. But you look at some of these teams that just lost their starting quarterback in the NFL draft, one of them being LSU with Jaden Daniels. Garrett Nussmeier now will be the starter. What do you expect from him as the starting quarterback for LSU, and what do you expect from this LSU team to compete in the SEC this year and for the college football playoffs?
Brian, I think they'll be fine offensively. I mean, if you saw the spring game, that they've still got wide receivers running wide open in that secondary. I heard a LSU beat writer talk about this the other day, and he's well-respected. He made a good point. He said, look, they have decided that defense is their weakness. They've gone out to get Bo Davis, Corey Raymer. They've got the D coordinator from Missouri to come over. They're much better right now defensively. But he said in some real honesty and transparency, they don't have the guys on defense yet to be where they want to be. So not saying they'll be where they were last year and having to having to win some games 50-40 necessarily, but until they can rebuild that defense, and they are intending to do that. They're not going to be where they need to be. And guys, this beat writer made a really good point. He said they've got to be at least somewhat clicking, maybe not on all cylinders, but a lot of them, because they've got Southern Cal coming up, Las Vegas, in that opener, meaning... Now, again, they may just have to outscore Southern Cal, but that makes for a very interesting year for them again, yes.
And they couldn't outscore FSU the last 2 years opening weekend.
No, they really couldn't. And FSU folks remember that very well.
I don't blame them.
No. And I really do wonder if they'd gotten Harold Perkins in a better position, and if they had... And if they had got a healthy Mason Smith at defensive tackle for LSU, would that have made a real difference for them? Mason Smith got hurt in that first Florida State game that Brent's mentioning and never really had it together after that. So, of course, he's with the Jaguars now, and we'll see. But, going to be a lot of fascinating things for LSU.
Brent, next time we visit will be in the month of magazines and Destin meetings.
Well, I'm quite excited about the magazines. I put this in my daytime or every year on the first day that I got the magazine from last year, and the date was May 23rd.
Wow.
So that's what I'm eagerly looking forward to. Now look, I know it's a crapshoot, and I can tell you one thing. I started my sports career writing, and I enjoyed it. But guys, y'all understand this, but because you've all written, having to do that now with this portal thing not ending till tomorrow, and that's going to be May 1, and you know good and well that magazine comes out May 23rd, that deadline's got to be what, Brett? The end of the week?
I'm with you. And imagine sports information offices on player biographies and putting together what we used to call the football book, the media guide.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, they get that out a little bit later, fortunately. But
yeah,
to your
point. And a lot of it online now.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. But to your
point. I still like mine handy because I know where I'm looking for, what I'm looking for in it.
And look, for the times that internet don't work, if you've got a magazine by your side as a reference, that makes a huge difference.
I can turn those pages faster than I can get my laptop on.
Oh, isn't that the truth? Or, it's a lot faster than my 9-year-old granddaughter can help get my internet back online.
She's smarter than we are, Brent. That's plain and simple.
With technology, she certainly is. No doubt about that.
Well, Brent, as always, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll do it again next week.
Good. Always look forward to it, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Brent.
Thank you so much, Brent. Brent Beard with us on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. All our guests appear there. Sissy's Log Cabin, the official jeweler of the hometown teams, the Grizzlies and the Tigers, part of the fabric of the community. That new location is open at Poplar Perkins at 4542. Poplar Bill Jones and his great team here to stay. Some come in overnight and gone pretty quickly, but not Sissy's Log Cabin. They're here to stay, and they're supporters of the local teams, both Tigers and Grizzlies. And we get back to FedEx Forum, that floor seat lounge at FedEx Forum. So much fun, official jeweler for the hometown teams, including the Memphis Grizzlies. Sissy's offers a selection of diamonds, estate jewelry, and fine gifts. The Mid-South's largest selection of one-of-a-kind jewelry, engagement rings, wedding bands, necklaces, and earrings. I know it's wedding season. Before you can get to wedding season, you got to get to engagement season. 9,000 square feet in Laurelwood with expanded lines for Rolex, Cartier, diamonds, and more. How about a nice Rolex watch for mom for a special occasion coming up for Mother's Day? With all the locations since 1970 across the Mid-South, Sissy's, they offer a great selection of estate jewelry and fine gifts. Unsurpassed value, exceptional service, expansive selection, and an extraordinary shopping experience, because life's too short for ordinary jewelry.
Let's go ahead and get to a break. We've got one Major League Baseball game going on right now involving our St. Louis Cardinals. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk about everything that happened last night in Major League Baseball. We'll do that next on Sports Time.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brent Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Well, a Tuesday in Major League Baseball is always fun, but only one day game today, which shame on MLB for that, and the one game going on. Do I have to read the score for Cardinals and Tigers, or can I keep it to myself? Only 1-0, nothing crazy.
Okay, you scared me.
No.
I had not checked in.
But what
Cardinals got base runners on right now.
Well, that's good, but the part I really didn't want to read is Jack Flaherty's line for today. 6.2 innings pitched, 2 hits allowed, 1 walk, 14 strikeouts.
Thanks, Jack.
Thanks, Jack.
So he didn't become Bob Gibson with us, so we trade him, and he's going to do us like Steve Carlton did.
That's right. That's right. And he is
Steve Carlton did it to everybody.
Rolling today. I don't think he's done anything close to this, which for 14 strikeouts, I don't expect anybody to do that consistently at all. But going back and looking at his results from this season, he has been. I mean, he had a 10 strikeout game earlier this season against Minnesota. So he has been rolling to start the year in terms of strikeouts, but certainly a good outing for him, and the Cardinals need to get something going soon, or they'll be trying to win the second game of the doubleheader today.
Do you have it up at your laptop?
I do not right now. I had it up, and then I closed it because they were in a commercial, but I've watched a little bit of it.
Base runners first and second.
Good.
One out in the top of the eighth. Cardinals have not been swept in a doubleheader on the road since October 4th, 2015 in Atlanta at Turner Field.
Wow. Well, you know, Brett, I do not like betting on or against the Cardinals. I feel like as a fan, that makes me just feel like dirty. I just feel like a dirty fan after that. But if
you have morals when it comes to betting.
Thank you, Johnny.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. I mean, you got to have morals. If not, then what are you? You're just a dirty, rotten gambler at that point.
Right.
But I would love, you know, if the Cardinals lose this first game, I would love to be able to bet on them in the second game.
Last time the Cardinals played an interleague doubleheader last year, played the Yankees at Busch Stadium.
You know, it's weird, and I don't think I brought this up yesterday. I was just thinking this weekend, there was some team was playing a doubleheader this weekend, and I was like, you know what? Cardinals have been pretty successful this year in terms of, like, no rainouts, no postponed games.
Sure
has. Weather's been nice to them.
It's been not bad enough to cancel, but
right.
April has been a bear for weather across baseball.
Oh, it's been awful.
A lot of cold, wet games, bright sunshine in Detroit, maybe. Yeah. May will really usher in more baseball weather.
I sure hope so. But definitely, first time this year Cardinals have had to play a doubleheader, and we'll see what happens in the first one.
Did you go against the White Sox last night?
I did not play that game at all. I didn't even I didn't watch much of it either. But
it was a good game.
It was a good game.
They got the White Sox got two in the bottom of the first. Minnesota matched them top of the second. Stayed tied until the ninth inning, and Minnesota really fortunate to win with the White Sox with base runners everywhere. That White Sox were going for 4 wins in a row.
Crazy.
Last Friday, they had 3 wins. Over the weekend, they doubled their season win total.
Hey, good for the White Sox, you know? I mean, good for them.
they found something in Kopech coming out of the bullpen.
Absolutely. They sure have. And I know my brother was watching that game last night, and he was watching the whole thing and was yelling at the TV throughout
right,
the game.
Give me the Connor grade on the City Connect uniforms for the Southsiders last night.
He owns one. The Southsiders, he has one. He has
good
one.
For him.
He has a Luis Robert Southsiders jersey. He sure does.
Old number 74, is that right? What is it?
Is that right?
What is Luis Rob? I think 74.
I don't remember.
It's up there big. Looks like a defensive tackle.
Yes, it is, and he's a big guy. But yeah, he has a Southsiders jersey. 88 is
88.
It looks like a tight end out there.
Oh, John Mackey.
That's right. So yeah, so he loves the Southsiders look. So it's different, but that's one of the. I think that's one of the better City Connect uniforms out there.
It wasn't bad.
No, it was not bad.
It was not bad.
When you look at some of these other ones out there, I think they were theirs are fine.
But 16 major league games today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot with that doubleheader. We get more baseball, and hey, I love more baseball. Some really good matchups last night. I know I had my eyes all over that Braves and Mariners game last night. Mariners come back in the ninth inning, score two in the bottom of the ninth.
And crowd rocking.
Oh, it was great. And that was a really fun game. 1-0. 0-0 most of the game. 1-0.
The pitching last night across baseball, that
really
was
good.
The night to ride the under.
Sure was. Sure was. A lot. I mean, let's see. Going through it, you've got 5-2, 1-0, 3-1, 7-2, 2-0, 3-2, 2-1. Those were a lot of low scoring games last night.
Not many overs there.
Ooh.
Last night, I'm watching the Yankees game and their relief pitcher, Dennis Santana.
Mm, yeah.
Do you know what his full legal name is?
Oh man, I can't say I do.
I didn't until last night watching Michael Kay.
What is it? Lay it on me.
Dennis Anthony Santana. His dad loved Dennis Rodman and Anthony Penny Hardaway.
You're kidding.
And named his son that.
Wow. I had no idea. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Now pitching for the for the Yankees. How about
right.
that? That is incredible.
Dennis Anthony Santana.
Good Lord. I would have never. I mean, you could have made me sit here and guess middle names the rest of the show, and I don't know if I would ever. If I would have ever gone Anthony, that's awesome. Did you catch any of Luis Severino's, what he went, 7 innings with of no-hit ball? 8 innings until they got a first hit in the 8th inning.
I got there late, really disappointed in you and Rob Fisher for not putting me on no-hitter blast.
Well, I was late to it as well last night. I was very busy last night, and I got home, and it was about... I think 6th inning.
I could not have been accused of jinxing him because I didn't text it to anybody. I got to it after the hit was allowed.
Yeah, no, it was. And then get a hit allowed, they take him out. Great standing ovation, and they end up losing the game.
Often happens.
Cubs come back 3-1, and Cubs been playing good baseball. 18-11 on the season now, and
I was kind of hoping that would happen today. You know, Flaherty just rolling, and I mean take him out. Can't get to him.
Sure.
The next guy in the bullpen can't be this good.
Jeez, and
it often happens.
Yeah, it does often happen. So maybe I see couldn't get any of those runs in for the Cardinals in the top of the 8. So
may often happen, but not often enough today.
No, not often for the Cardinals, I guess. But no, I think some really good matchups. You mentioned those low scoring games. Yankees Orioles was a fun game last night. I hope that can continue tonight with two really good pitchers and Nestor Cortez and Dean Kramer tonight. So that's definitely going to be a game to keep an eye on.
You waiting for your Mariners to get hot?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it looks
could have
like
been the spark last night.
Sure, it looks like they're starting. I mean, a really, really bad start for them. But I think that series, what was it? A couple weeks ago, maybe, that they started turning around. They had that series against the Rangers where they played really well. And so, it feels like it's starting to come together. I thought that win last night over the Braves, though, was really a big one that maybe tonight you got Castillo going on the mound. So maybe you can hit a stride right now and really get out there. Because, I mean, the AL West right now is for the taking. I mean, there's some bad baseball being played. So maybe try to get a gap in there right now when you can.
Minnesota now winners of 8 in a row after getting that
wow.
win last night, 3-2 over the White Sox. Skip Schumacher made it look easy last year.
Yeah.
Water found its level this year with the Marlins, didn't it?
Yeah, it sure has, and it's just been...
You know, I once told Skip Schumacher I thought he'd be a great manager someday.
You know what? You did, and he had a great, you know, great season. And I don't think he's, you know, been the issue this year. It's been a lot of
years. And then Yuki's been telling everybody in Memphis.
Well, because, I mean, when I hear one and then another and then a third... And then
told
a
Eddie Perez that.
I mean, it just sounds like you go down there and just go from locker to locker. Hey, bud, you're going to be a great...
You're going to be a great Skip someday.
Exactly. And but no, Marlins, this series is kind of a series of...
That was kind of my go-to late first decade of the 21st century
that.
Play at AutoZone Park.
Tell
everybody came through Memphis. That's really...
You've
that's
got all, it.
That's almost like you got a nice little game.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to the Hall of Fame as a player. Right. You'll be a great manager
someday. Manager, yes. You'll get into the managing side. You'll just be great. That's really good. Metaphor for it because it is very similar to that. But
got a nice little game.
Yeah. No, you don't want to hear that too often. But Marlins right now 6-24 have a series against the 7-21 Rockies. I mean that's a struggle of a series for both.
We both had Bud Black as first guy out.
We did.
It's feeling close, isn't it?
It's getting really close.
And I'm going to say it up to a moment. I'm going to say it up to the All-Star break.
Yeah.
If you gotta fire them 1st of May, if you gotta fire them Memorial Weekend, you have to fire them middle of June. Why didn't you just do it last year and start fresh?
Yeah, I mean, it's always that trying to give them one more chance, but if they're already on notice, you know, why even wait? You know, just rip that Band-Aid off and kind of start fresh. Because even if you know it's going to be bad, you can at least start fresh and maybe try to get something going with a new guy. But definitely going to be some fun games tonight, and you know, who knows, maybe one of us will be beaming to one of those spots later this evening. But let's go ahead and get to a quick break. When we come back, it'll be time for Big Number of the Day.
You already know you can listen to Sports 56 anywhere with the Sports 56 app or at sports56whbq.com. But you can also watch us daily with live video of all of our shows on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brent Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Big Daddy.
Hello, Big Brand.
It's a guy, he wants to be big, then he gets big, he doesn't want to be big anymore, then he gets small, but the suit's too big.
Big Daddy.
The big boy.
You're a big guy.
I think she's trying to pull a fast one on Big Daddy.
The big number of the day.
Well, my big number today comes from that baseball game we were talking about earlier, the Cardinals and the Detroit Tigers. This comes from Jeff Jones, who covers the St. Louis Cardinals up in St. Louis. My big number is 14. Jack Flaherty finished the day with 14 strikeouts against the St. Louis Cardinals. And Cardinals PR reports that Jack Flaherty is the first pitcher to strike out at least 14 Cardinals in 6 2/3 innings pitched or less since the year 1901.
Whoa.
So,
great number. Phenomenal. Great research, Bryant.
Great number.
Well, it wasn't really research. I just saw a tweet and made it my big number. So
anyway, we got to do it.
That's right.
My big number is 3,741.
Oh, what a number. Goodness.
Holy cow.
That's James Harden's career playoff point scored. He's now the active leader that remains in the playoffs. He's 17th all time, but the ones in front of him, like number 1, LeBron James, out. Number 7, Kevin Durant, out. Number 12, Steph Curry, never in this year.
Wow. That's incredible. That's a really good big number.
And if the Clippers go out, it will take out him, Westbrook, Paul George, and then with Milwaukee and Giannis not adding to his total, if they go out, we could really get down. I think Al Horford's still way up there.
Sure.
But we're into some new people.
No, we are. And it's kind of what we were talking about the other day of this kind of almost, you know, change of the guard of new, you know. It seems OKC is a team that sure, had playoff success when KD and Westbrook were there, but this new look Oklahoma City Thunder team has not had that success. Minnesota, same thing, you know, so you're definitely seeing some new kind of takeover.
Cardinals knotted it one apiece.
All right! Cardinals
runners on first and third.
Wow, I am kind of shocked.
These guys have not been as good as Flaherty. Take that, 1901.
How about that?
That was good timing for you, Bryant. Yes, Pat Smith, our buddy at Jocks down in Birmingham, just tweeted this out, and to the shock of nobody, guess the number one market for UFL football?
Birmingham.
Birmingham. It is Birmingham. Yeah. Top 10 local markets through week 5 for games on Fox. Birmingham's 1. Okay. St. Louis 2. New Orleans 3. Mm-hmm. Detroit 4, okay. Tulsa 5.
Interesting.
Bless your hearts, Tulsa. 6, Kansas City. 7, Memphis.
Okay.
8, Louisville. 9, San Antonio. 10, Columbus. Columbus is right up there with Birmingham. You could just put the Big Ten logo on TV, and I think it draws some numbers.
I love that. That's great. You know, there's some places that just love football. They got to have it. And
got to have it.
The UFL gives them some football. So.
That right there keeps the UFL going.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Now,
we've got to get more people to the ballparks. Only two places are drawing. Memphis is not alone and not.
No, not at all.
And no, they had and they have a challenge. Mm-hmm. The two places are drawing are Birmingham and St. Louis. And Birmingham is not as robust as St. Louis is drawing.
Mm-mm, no.
St. Louis took the NFL, and I don't blame them. They took it really personally.
They did, and they are making it their...
And Kroenke did it to them.
Sure, and they're making it their personal mission to kind of stick it back to the NFL with the Battle Hawks, and it's worked out really well, and there's kind of them and what they're drawing, and then there's a little bit of a drop-off, and then there's Birmingham. Birmingham's doing a nice job of giving them a really good environment to play in. But also, Birmingham's had that success in the last couple of years. I mean, won the first 2 years of the USFL, back-to-back champions, and now coming to the UFL. And
it dominates non-NFL championships.
Sure. I mean, you know.
But oddly enough, didn't get one in the old USFL. Got one in WFL.
Uh-huh.
Think got one in XFL.
Interesting.
Did XFL crown a champion?
I don't know.
AAF? Who won it in AAF? Didn't Spurrier's team win it in AAF? And he claimed it as another championship he won?
Oh, I don't know.
A Florida-based team?
Maybe, yeah. Well, the AAF, did we even get through a season with the AAF?
I think so. I think we crowned a champ.
Okay.
We didn't crown a champ in year two of WFL. The Birmingham Americans won it year one.
Interesting.
The Vulcans were leading it year two, and plug got pulled.
Ugh, hate that. I hate that. So, yeah, maybe this would be, three straight championships for the Birmingham Stallions? So, I'd love to have it happen.
Our buddy Brett CNC at Pick Six Previews on Twitter at Pick Six Previews, he just tweeted out, longest active winning streaks in FBS.
Okay.
26 years for Boise State.
Whoa.
22 for Wisconsin. 18 for the aforementioned Oklahoma State Cowboys.
Wow.
The job Mike Gundy's done, I mean, that's up there with Frank Beamer, sure. Kurt Ferentz, all-time jobs at his beloved school. 17, Alabama. 13, Clemson and Georgia. 12, Ohio State. 11, Iowa. We talked about Kurt Ferentz yesterday. Utah 10, Memphis 10.
Wow. That's awesome. I mean, it just shows this success.
Appreciate what we have.
Absolutely. I mean, that
support what we have.
Sure. That with the bowl.
Buy season tickets now for Ryan Silverfield's good team, great team he potentially could have this year.
And one that's you know, the same thing like we were just talking about is the success is there. The success has been there, and it's been very clear with that stat. That's a great number. Also, the bowl streak that they're on of constantly being good enough to get to a bowl. And now with the excitement around the program and what could be next year with the opportunity to be a group of five representative, there should definitely be a lot of excitement, and that should in turn become a lot of people at those games.
How about this? I know we can do both, and I know there's a time for every season.
Uh-huh.
But media organ grinders about second weekend, how about supporting Ryan Silverfield first?
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely.
I agree, Brett. I agree.
I mean, that's going to be what comes here first. And that team that he has, we already know what it's going to look like. And it is going to be a really, really good team. And I'm with you. I mean, I think there should definitely be more talk about this upcoming football season and what could be.
All right. I've asked you before, for college football playoff games, what's the football equivalent of advancing in the basketball bracket? We're going to have a little more clarity about it now going forward. It won't be guessing. And I've always said kind of those New Year's Six games that weren't in the playoffs, that was 16 Elite Eight type games.
Right.
Well, we had the Final Four. It was the Final Four teams. I'm saying the Tigers winning the Liberty Bowl last year was the equivalent of a Sweet 16.
Sure, certainly could be up there. I mean, that was massive, and I think
winning a game in the tournament.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, what that really meant, and what that kind of proved of, I think that has a lot to do with a lot of the excitement going into this year. Is look, you went up against a good Iowa State team in the Liberty Bowl and got that win and won. I mean, was dominant in that game. And so I think that was definitely huge, and I think gave that team a lot of confidence of, look, we can do it. We can beat these Power 5 teams, and kind of going into this season, there should be a lot of confidence for this group. So I'm excited about it. I know a lot of other people are excited about it, and that excitement's going to grow as we get closer and closer. But I'm absolutely with you, Brett. The people that are saying, you know, that are already talking about basketball season, I like the excitement. I like it's there. Let's move that to the football team. And
not just basketball season. Second weekend.
Yes, yes, yes.
Which is about 45 weeks from now.
Yes, yes. That's way, 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 way far down the line. So I hope the football team gets even more than that, and it will be here before we know it. But let's go ahead and wrap up this second hour and get to a break. When we come back, we're talking the NFL with Beau Marchand.